politicians know that if they make the public fearful of something and offer them protection for that fear, they will gain votes. So those are some of the words Australian barrister, human rights and refugee advocate and receiver of the Order of Australia, Julian Burnside, uses at the beginning of his 2018 documentary, Border Politics. In the documentary, we watch Burnside travel from nation to nation as he explores the politics which form attitudes towards refugees and their policies surrounding people seeking refuge. In the documentary, directed by Judy Reimer, Burnside converses with experts from around the globe, as well as civilians who have welcomed and supported refugees as they attempted to start new lives. The documentary's mix of insightful analysis and intimate recounts all at once makes the refugee crisis understandable and feel very much real and close to home. So, joining us in the studio is Mr. Julian Burnside himself to talk about his work and what led him to make such a great documentary on the relationship between politics and refugees. Good morning, Julian.
G'day, James. I should say right at the outset, I didn't make the film. I'm just a talking head.
You're the talking man.
Yeah. Judy Reimer made the film, and I think she and her team have done a terrific job.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's the same. I'm pretty much just the talker of this show, and then the producers outside are the ones that make that happen as well. I guess to start off, there have been many political campaigns and refugee rights and activism campaigns. What was the thing that made you want to make a documentary in the first place about the treatment of refugees in politics?
Well, I actually didn't want to make a documentary.
Oh, right.
Judy approached me. She rang me. I work in Melbourne, and she contacted me from Sydney and said, would I do this? And I said, no. So she came down to Melbourne and sat in front of me in my chambers and talked me into it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm really glad that she did, actually, because I think the film has turned out very well.
I think so as well. At the beginning of the film, in the introduction, you mentioned, I worry where our democracy is going. A few things globally have happened since you made the documentary earlier this year, such as the United States pulling out of the United Nations Human Rights Council. I guess the question is, are you more worried now than before you made the documentary about where Western democracy is going?
Yes, I am, because in my refugee-related work, I've concentrated on Australia and what Australia is doing, but the way Judy designed the film meant that I was taken to all sorts of other countries to see how other countries are behaving, and that made me even more concerned about what Australia is doing, because really we come out of it very badly. And it's interesting what you say about America and what's happening in America at the moment. It's what's happening in America at the moment is that Trump has now really borrowed a lot of the Australian techniques, and that's a very, very worrying development when
you
think about it. You know, everyone was horrified to see that Trump was taking children from their parents and basically breaking families.
Yeah.
And the fact is that a number of the parents, you know, and these are not Mexicans crossing the border. These are people from Guatemala and places like that, very likely genuine refugees, certainly people seeking protection from persecution. And by taking the children, he held them hostages. And now, of course, with the revelation of the audio of kids crying for their parents and that sort of thing, really shocked America. So he's now said, okay, well, look, we won't separate them. We'll keep them all in detention. Mm-hmm. And all of this is as a deterrent.
Yeah.
He is using human beings, innocent human beings, as hostages in order to deter other people from trying to get to protection in America. And that is exactly what Australia has been doing since 2001.
Yeah, we've definitely heard that kind of thing here. And there's been other people, I know in Britain as well, praising Australia's techniques.
Yeah, Nigel Farage.
Yeah.
Let's make it really clear, it's Nigel Farage who's been complimenting Australia.
Yeah.
And when you're being complimented by someone like him, you know you're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, it's like getting Donald Trump's good opinion.
Yeah, you don't really want that opinion, I guess.
No.
I guess talking about, you did visit many countries around the world, like the United States, Scotland, Greece, Germany and Jordan. So what did you learn about Australia's attitudes and laws in being in those places?
Well, what I learned was that we are probably doing worse than any other country, which is why we're being complimented by people like Nigel Farage.
Yeah.
Scotland really stood out as a place that's doing it very well. You know, Scotland has a population about the same as Sydney, and in the 12 months before the time that I was there, they had resettled in the community over 1,000 Syrian refugees.
Wow.
And they, when I say settled, that's not quite the full picture. They have really embraced and they've really made them feel welcome
yeah.
in the community. And those people are, all of them, now contributing to the communities that they've been settled in. And when I was speaking to people there, I said, you know, it's amazing. We're doing what we do, which everyone sort of knows about.
Yeah.
And you're behaving as well as this. How do you account for it? And they said, they're human beings. They need our help. Now, in Australia, I would love to hear any politician say those words. You know, we don't seem to acknowledge that these are human beings. What's worse is we have politicians who say they're illegal and pushing them away is border protection. Well, they're not illegal. Sorry, it's just a lie.
Yeah, exactly.
The politicians have been lying to the public now for 17 years in order to persuade us to think that it's okay to mistreat them. If we saw that we were not being protected from criminals, we're just mistreating innocent human beings, men, women and children, then we might think that's not really what Australia should do.
Yeah. And
and by the way, you at the outset, you quoted something that I said in the film about, you know, what politicians know they can win votes by.
Yeah, to
making the public fear people and
offer them protection, yeah,
exactly.
So they get the votes.
Now, that was actually a sort of paraphrase of something said by a leading politician. That was that sentiment was uttered by Hermann Göring at Nuremberg in 1946.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And do you recognize the process in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if we're doing something that Hermann Göring was advocating, I think you recognize we are walking down a dangerous path.
Yeah, and definitely have to stop and turn around and yeah. look for a different direction.
Yeah.
A big theme of your documentary, Border Politics, is the difference between the past and the present. So a bit of background, 70 years ago, we did have World War II. We saw mass exodus of people, humans, moving from their countries to other safer countries like our own. Most people were generally quite accepting of these European refugees, although there might have been a few cultural changes. The allowing them into the country was very different to what we're seeing today. To you, what's the difference between World War II's refugees and the refugees of the Middle East and Africa today?
I think the big difference is that back then, everyone realised what shocking things had been happening in Europe.
Right.
And it was very difficult then for people not to understand that respecting other human beings was important. Now, my generation, your generation, haven't seen things like that.
No.
We haven't been through it. And I fear that young people now have lost sight of the fact that gave rise to the need for respect for human rights. You know, it's very interesting that at the end of the Second World War, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was brought into existence by Eleanor Roosevelt. We talk about that a bit in the film. Then September 11 changed all of that.
Mm.
All of a sudden, human rights stopped being quite such a good idea. All of a sudden, we lost sight of the fact that
yeah.
other human beings also have rights which we should respect.
Absolutely. And terrorism took a different face as well.
Well, it did. It did. And there's an interesting point. And I don't think I mentioned this in the film, but the my introduction to all of this was the Tampa litigation in Australia in 2001.
Yeah.
And for people listening to this who don't remember it, the Tampa was a Norwegian cargo ship which rescued a bunch of people at Australia's request.
Right.
Rescued a bunch of people whose boat had begun to fall apart in the Indian Ocean. These were the Hazaras from Afghanistan fleeing the Taliban.
Right.
And so at Australia's request, the Tampa rescued those people. And when the captain of the Tampa tried to put them ashore at Christmas Island, Australia said, no, you're not allowed to enter Australian territorial waters off Christmas Island. And when the captain of the Tampa decided to act in the highest traditions of the maritime tradition, Howard sent out the SAS who took control of the bridge of the Tampa at gunpoint.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's quite... And then there was a standoff. And then there's all these 434, I think, refugees baking on the steel decks of the Tampa in the tropical sun. It's... So litigation was brought in the federal court. And the decision of the judge in the Tampa case was handed down in Melbourne at 2:15 in the afternoon on the 11th of September 2001. 8 hours later, the attack on America happened. And of a sudden, John Howard started calling boat people illegal.
That's quite incredible, the chances of that happening. Yeah. Really, the timing.
It was during the Tampa case that the Howard government put together the Pacific Solution, so-called, which involved sending unwanted boat people over to Nauru. And Nauru, not many people know this, Nauru is an independent republic on the equator. It's a little Pacific island. And Nauru's land area is 2 square kilometres smaller than Tullamarine Airport in Melbourne.
Oh, wow, that's tiny. That's tiny, yeah.
I mean, can you believe that we are treating people like that, thinking, oh, well, Nauru can take them. We don't want them.
Yeah, well, realistically, it can't take them. Yeah,
and of course, Nauru, which is still being used now to accommodate boat people who've arrived in Australia looking for a safe place to live, the people who are held there now have been there for 5 years. They're told by Australia, you'll never be allowed to settle here. Other countries aren't particularly interested in taking them off Nauru's hands because Nauru took them in voluntarily and at huge cost to the Australian taxpayers.
Definitely.
And they've been there 5 years, and it's costing the Australian taxpayers $573,000 per refugee per year to keep them in offshore detention.
Yeah, and economically that's not a very smart option either, which I'm sure is driving a lot of people's opinions.
We're arguing about Newstart, whether Newstart allowance should be increased, you know, like by $10 a day.
Yeah.
And we're spending $573,000 a year.
Yeah, there's no real sense in that. I'm sure a lot of people can thousand.
So $573,000 per person per year.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot more.
That is a lot more. It's a lot more than the Newstart allowance.
Yes, definitely. One of the women that you interviewed in Greece, her name was Christina Chatzidaki. She said something that really stood out to me as well. It's not only political belief; it's the fear. How much is fear driving our treatment of refugees today?
It almost exclusively. It's an enormous consideration, and the politicians know how to use it,
definitely.
And they're using it. And it's interesting that there's a comment by Peter Dutton recently, which is quoted in the last Saturday paper. He said, it's essential that people realise that the hard-won success of the last few years could be undone overnight by a single act of compassion in bringing 20 people from Manus to Australia. Now, how about that? Who would have guessed even 10 years ago that a Minister of the Crown in Australia would argue against being compassionate because it might undo the work we've done?
Especially compassion. It's one of the most valuable human things that we have to give around the world. And we've got a person in the New South Wales Parliament, the Australian Parliament, I should say, telling us not to do it.
Yeah. Don't be compassionate.
It's unbelievable.
It's horrible. Yeah. I mean, the simple thing is Australians are better than that. And they're only conned into allowing it all to go ahead because we've been persuaded to think these people are illegal, that they're criminals, we need to be protected from them.
Yeah.
And the other great lie, I mean, it really distresses me, actually. I think Australians being decent people wouldn't tolerate any of this if they knew the truth. Why are they held so far away? So we can't see them. So we never actually get to see them as human beings.
Yeah.
Why do the politicians do this? They try to hide it behind the fig leaf of doing a good thing because they're so worried about people drowning.
Definitely.
So worried about them drowning that if they don't drown, they're punished.
It's an interesting strategy that they've tried to throw on us, really.
Yeah.
I guess as a final question, lack of leadership is also a big theme in the documentary. And I guess we're seeing it in many places around the world in terms of this issue. What are the summer places you visited that showed potential of leadership in these issues? I know you mentioned Scotland before.
Well, Scotland shows real leadership.
Yeah.
And the other place that shows real leadership is Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Interestingly, not part of the West,
yeah.
Not a signatory to the Refugees Convention. Jordan, which has Israel and Palestine on the West, Iraq on the East, and Syria on the North. And for decades, it has had refugees turning up because those are trouble spots in the world. And when I was there, there were, I think, something over a million Syrian refugees living in the community in Jordan, allowed to work.
Wow.
People who've come without a visa, without an invitation, they've just turned up saying, protect us.
Yeah.
And they are being treated really well. And there's a very interesting comment by King Abdullah of Jordan saying that the things that unite us as human beings are much more than the things that separate us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he is treating refugees from Syria as human beings.
Yeah.
We should do the same.
And the way that we should be treating refugees as people that are fleeing persecution.
Yeah.
They're not illegal. They're
not illegal. They're, and they are human beings.
Yeah.
So, and they need help.
And we need to give them protection that they're asking
and
for.
And by the way, there's a practical reason for doing a bit better than we're doing at the moment. They're mostly young. They're all courageous. They've had the initiative and the courage to do what they can do to get somewhere safe.
Definitely.
In a few years' time, the number of people in Australia older than 45 is going to exceed the number who are younger than 45. We need younger people in the community. Refugees are the obvious choice. People who can really contribute enormous amounts to our community. We're shooting ourselves in the foot, and we're doing it because our politicians lie to us.
Yeah, and that's exactly what border politics goes into throughout the whole documentary. If you just joined us on 2SER this morning, we've been talking to Australian barrister and human rights and refugee advocate Julian Burnside, talking about his recently released documentary, Border Politics, which looks at the refugee situation across the globe and the politics which impact how refugees are received and perceived. You can watch politics, Border Politics on the 6th and 7th of July at the Randwick Ritz. Unfortunately, you might have missed out on tonight's screening, which I understand is sold out. But what can some of the people attending these screenings and Q&As expect from the events going on?
Well, I hope they can expect to learn the facts about what is going on. I really, really hope that people who don't agree with me get to come along and see the film and hopefully ask some questions at the Q&A, because I defy anyone to come up with convincing arguments justifying the mistreatment of refugees once they know the facts.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose there are some people out there who are just unpleasant people and like, you know, sort of pulling the wings off flies and that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And I got to say, and I don't think I've said this publicly before, I'm very proud of what Judy Reimer and her team did with this film. They produced something that's really, really good.